RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Our thanks to Ozzie Smith, our interview of the year from earlier in October. It was a great one. Appreciate him. Rebecca Tillett, head coach of the Billikens. We heard from the St. Louis Blues, their win yesterday. Now it's time to get after it here in the 11 o'clock hour. We have football picks. We have Mark Schreiber. We have Heim Bloom. We have Bernie Miklas. And we're going to get it all in before noon. And then we have the Billikens today at 1:45. The SLU men taking on Principia College with the 2 o'clock tip-off at Chaffetz. All right, Drew Young, let's hit it. Yes, it is late December. That's my John Facenda. And it's time for the most important games of the season. You have the New England Patriots trying to win the AFC East. Scott Jagow's Buffalo Bills want to hold them off. What a win that was for Buffalo and Foxborough, too, to keep it alive. They're only a game apart. Problem is, the Patriots visit the Jets today. They're a 13.5-point favorite against the Jets. The Bills are home against the Eagles. The Eagles have already wrapped up the division, but they are a good, good team, no doubt about it. Buffalo is a 3-point favorite. So let's take a look at these. I'm going to go Patriots because the 13.5 is a little deceiving. I think the Patriots can win that game by 2 touchdowns. They're motivated. I could see them winning by 14 and just eclipsing that half point that is needed. I'm going to go New England minus 13.5. And I will take Buffalo minus 3 against the Eagles. That's a great game. I'm going to go Buffalo at home on that one. Tonight, the Bears and the 49ers. Bears don't really need it now for the division, but they are still in play for the number one seed in the NFC, believe it or not. They won the division last night when the Packers got thumped by the Ravens. The 3.5-point spread for the 49ers. Man, oh man. 49ers, doesn't look like they're going to have George Kittle in this game I saw. I'm going to go Bears plus 3.5. What do you think about that? They're magical right now. Some of these games I'm not going to pick. I mean, the Giants-Vegas is brutal. Sorry, Drew. It's a couple of 2-13 teams there. Tampa Bay needs one at Miami, 4.5-point favorite at the Dolphins. I'll do it. Tampa Bay minus 4.5. Carolina in a battle with them for the NFC South, hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle's a 6.5-point favorite in that one. I'm actually going to take Carolina plus 6.5 in a game they got to get. Some other ones, Pittsburgh needs to hold off Cleveland. They're a 4-point favorite at Cleveland. I will roll with that too. Pittsburgh minus 4. Arizona, Cincinnati doesn't matter. I'll skip New Orleans, Tennessee as well. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. The Jaguars need to keep on rolling. They're minus 4 at the Colts. I'm going to go Colts plus 4 there. Just see if I can sneak one in for the Colts one last time. They've been pretty good to me on these picks through the years. And then you have the Rams at Atlanta on Monday night. Can I just skip that? Do I have to pick? I'll go Rams minus 7.5, even though personally don't care for them, but they are really, really good. So those are the NFL picks. Now let's get into some college football playoff selections. Yes, indeed. We've got some big ones coming on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Let's get started. Beginning with New Year's Eve, a matchup that Kevin Wheeler was dreaming about, and he got the win over Texas A&M, and now he has to play the number one team in the nation for all but 1 week of play when Indiana knocked him off. Ohio State will be taking on the Hurricanes, and that spread is currently 9. Although I see it here at 8.5. Some money coming in on the Hurricanes. I don't care if it's 8.5, if it's 9, if it's 9.5. It's Ohio State, folks. Sorry, Kev. Buckeyes -8.5 against the Hurricanes. New Year's Day. Let's start with the Orange Bowl. It's Oregon and Texas Tech. Texas Tech is a team that not enough people are paying attention to. They kind of gloss over it. They think Oregon, Ohio State, and Indiana are going to advance, three Big Ten teams, and they might be right. But I'm going to throw a wrench in all of this and say that I did not like Oregon giving up 34 points and a lot of them late to James Madison. You cannot rest on this Texas Tech team. They're too well coached. They're very disciplined. They're very good on both sides of the ball. Their one loss was at Arizona State, 26-22. They stubbed their toe down in Tempe. Otherwise, they have been flawless. Listen to these last games since Arizona State. 42-0, 43-20, 29-7, 48-9, 49-0, 34-7. Are you kidding me? That is dominance on defense. Texas Tech +2.5 against Oregon. You've got Indiana and Alabama in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. The Hoosiers, my alma mater, a 7-point favorite against the crown jewel of the SEC. Now, this is hard because I never pick games that involve my team, but I'm going to do it now. If you had asked me, what's the best case scenario for you in front of a national audience to break out, I would say number one is that we play Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship for a chance to be number one in the nation. Check. Done. Beat them 13-10. My next one, and probably even bigger. Actually, it is bigger. To play in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day against Alabama. Can you make that happen? And the man upstairs said, yes, I can. The dream has come true. Indiana is playing Alabama for the Rose Bowl and a chance to advance the semifinals of the college football playoff. Give me Hoosiers -7. They are going to win this game. And I think they are a more disciplined team. They focus on your weaknesses and they exploit them. And Alabama's got weaknesses. They don't run the ball well. They were 2-for-12 on third down against Oklahoma. The scary thing is when Ty Simpson has time, he will pick apart his own defense. But when he is rushed, which Indiana does an excellent job of, he can be a mess. Got some playmakers now. You can't make mistakes here. And you can't, God forbid, they have a pick six go against them like they've had a couple of times. Or, well, one time in particular that I think of, Oregon, and then they bounce right back. I like Indiana -7. And then finally, you have Georgia and Ole Miss. That's the nightcap, the Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss is an excellent football team. Do not let them deceive you. This spread, though, does not help them if you're trying to pick them. It's 6.5. I got Georgia -6.5. They're going to win that game. They'll take care of that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Mark Schreiber was at a bowl game over the last few days, and he's going to tell us about what's coming to Enterprise Center and what's coming up tonight on CBS. Back in a moment.
On 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Look, say what you want about these bowl games with the Big Ten's 5-0. Just saying. Good conference. Thanks to Northwestern for keeping that going. Here comes Northwestern alum. He was at the Game Above Sports Bowl in Detroit, a win over Central Michigan for the Cats, 34-7. And we welcome in the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, Mark Schreiber. How are you, buddy?
Like you're
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Setting me up for embarrassment that you go on and on about going to the Rose Bowl, and you're now like telling everybody, yeah, I took a trip to Detroit to see the Wildcats and Chippewas, but it was good enough.
Hey, look, I've been to Ford Field. That's a great stadium and a good sports city, which, by the way, they've done a nice job to their downtown. I wonder if you had your eyes on what they've done there to improve that city from a sports standpoint.
Definitely. And that was actually one of the reasons I wanted to go. It's been a long time since I've been to Detroit and was eager to see Ford Field. And you're exactly right. For its age, it has aged really well. Really nice venue. And yeah, there's a lot we can learn from being up there. And I came away relatively impressed, even with how bad the weather was up there. It was still a good experience and credit to them for doing what they're doing.
I am not going to Pasadena. I'll be watching the Rose Bowl from home with family. Really looking forward to that experience and hoping for the best, of course. But I was in Indianapolis for the win over Ohio State, the Big Ten Championship, and Indianapolis does it right, too. I mean, before we get into what's going on here in St. Louis, what can we learn from Indianapolis, from Detroit, for that matter, and some of the others about how they do what they do as we compete with them for these big events?
I mean, I think a lot of it is cooperation and collaboration and everybody rowing in the same direction and being on the same page and deciding, yeah, this, you know, especially the efforts around sports can really pay off for a community. And then you just need that investment. You need people in the community that say, and, you know, I think Dan Gilbert's an example in Detroit that say, you know what, we're going to invest in downtown and we're going to invest in the city core and we're going to do what we can to move our regions forward. And, you know, there are plenty of instances in St. Louis where that has been the case, but there's also good models, Indy and Detroit out there for things that we can aspire to as well.
Mark, you have pulled in the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, and here they are. They start next week, really. I mean, January 7th is the first day, right, at Enterprise Center?
Yeah, and the event technically starts on the 5th, Monday the 5th, because we have the juniors and novice competitions out at Centene Community Ice Center. But the championship level gets underway Wednesday the 7th at Enterprise Center, and this comes upon us quick, and the reason is it's the last stop before the Olympics. So here we are a month away from the Winter Games, and the U.S. Olympic figure skating team is going to be chosen right here in St. Louis.
Next week, we're going to talk to Ron Kraszewski about the U.S. ski team. He's a big fan, of course, and supporter of that ski team. And you talk about popularity. I think figure skating, ski team, and some others are as watched as anything else. And figure skating historically has been, hasn't it, Mark? I mean, you talk about eyes from around the world on that sport.
Oh, yeah. I put my chips on figure skating on that one as perhaps the most popular winter Olympic sport. And for the U.S. right now, it like doesn't get any better. The U.S. figure skating is in as good a shape as it's been in a long time. And that's what I've been trying to sort of tell the locals here is you have a chance to truly see greatness. Like this is a one time opportunity where there's a good shot that the U.S. men's champion here in St. Louis is going to win gold. I would say more than good chance he's going to win gold in Milan. Very good chance that the ice dance team that wins here in St. Louis is going to win gold in Milan. And on the women's side as well with Alyssa Liu, likely to get on the podium. In fact, several of the women skaters here in St. Louis, I think, have a chance to medal at the Olympics. And I was just mentioning the men's side and the ice dance side. It's Madison Chalk and Evan Bates are the ice dance team. And Ilya Malinin is the men's skater that you don't want to miss. He may be the greatest skater of all time, and it will be a treat to have him in St. Louis.
That's a really good point, Mark, because once the network gets a hold of them and the Olympics take place, they will be household names. I mean, I sit there at the Musial Awards and you give me that opportunity to interview people in the green room before they go out into the crowd, and I get starstruck. I mean, and I don't very often. I mean, I've interviewed pretty much everybody who's come through town, but I mean, you delivered me Wayne Gretzky, Bill Bradley, Billy Crystal, and this past one with Christy Yamaguchi. I mean, I watched her throughout her entire career. I mean, here's one of the faces of the sport right here in St. Louis. So to your point, these that you're going to see at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships will become that. You will be able to say that you saw them in St. Louis.
Exactly. And it's not just a one-year thing. You're talking about going down in history as the greatest. And it's like if you had told somebody, and you know, we're going back a generation or two, but you know, you have a chance to see Peggy Fleming or Scott Hamilton, Christy Yamaguchi, of course, like you'd want to be there because those are legacies, not just in the sport of figure skating, but in all of sports. And I think we're going to see that this year with the class of skaters that will be competing at Enterprise Center.
Looking forward to all of it. So it begins, as you said, with juniors on the 5th, and then the U.S. Figure Skating Championships get started, and that'll happen on the 7th. If you want to get tickets for it, it's an easy website. It's skateSt.Louis2026.com. Isn't that the best way right now, Mark?
Yeah, and that has all the information. It's got the schedule of events, and just it's a little bit of a complex event because you have so many sessions taking place. And I would just, for the listeners, they're trying to figure out when to go. You have the women's and pairs on Wednesday and Friday, and then the men's and ice dance are Thursday, Saturday. The Wednesday and Thursday sessions, a little bit more accessible. Lesser price ticket will only sell into the lower level for those nights. So a more intimate feel. But Friday and Saturday are going to be sort of the most attractive sessions. And the Friday night one's always very popular because that's the women's, free skate. But I'd also like encourage people take a look at Saturday night too. It's a powerhouse of a night in that both ice dance and the men's skating finals are that evening. So you're basically getting two for the price of one, all packaged into one session on Saturday night, the 10th. But you can't go wrong no matter which session you're going to.
Wow. And then I mentioned the Musial Awards, and that is happening today. Now, we recorded that back in November, but they've somehow condensed that to a one-hour show, and it is going to be at 4 o'clock this afternoon on CBS, and if you're streaming, on Paramount Plus. That is a big deal once again, Mark.
Yeah, it's our seventh straight year where we're going to be on the network, our fourth straight year where we're coming out of CBS's NFL coverage, which is wonderful. We had more than 2 million viewers last year. And, you know, in today's age of TV, that's a great accomplishment. And it's a wonderful thing for St. Louis that we've got this homegrown event named for our hero, Stan Musial, and it gets a platform where it's out to the entire country that gets to see it. It's a great message of sportsmanship, uplifting, inspiring, perfect at the holiday season. But it's also just a great thing for St. Louis that we go out to the rest of the nation and we're able to say, this is St. Louis. This is what we're all about. And viewers across the country are going to see our show from Stiefel Theater. It's very special for us.
That is awesome. It was a great show, and I look forward to seeing it again, this time on TV. And before I let you go, Mark, just what else is brewing here? You got the NCAA tournament that's coming in March.
Exactly.
And what else do you have on the table?
BMW Championship out at Belle Reve in August. And then we'll do the NCAA Wrestling Championships for the 10th time next March of 2027. That, of course, doesn't include all the annual events, the great events from the Valley MVC Arch Madness Tournament to NASCAR and IndyCar and the Stiefel Charity Classic at Norwood Hills. And then on top of all that, we've got bids in right now for the 2028 Olympic Marathon Trials, the World Cup of Hockey in 2028, the Women's World Cup for 2031, the Men's Rugby World Cup for 2031. So a lot in the works, and hopefully we get college football back at the Dome sometime soon, too.
That would be awesome. I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on today, and good luck with everything. I'll see you at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships.
Thank you, Tom. A very happy new year to you and all the listeners, and good luck to your Hoosiers.
Thank you. Happy new year to you and the St. Louis Sports Commission. That's President Mark Schreiber. I'm Tom Ackerman. Coming up, President of the St. Louis Cardinals Baseball Operations, it's Heim Bloom on KMOX.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
As I take a little swig of my energy drink. I'm feeling pretty good today, though. Heim Bloom, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, is with us. Good morning, Heim. It's always great to have you on KMOX.
I didn't bring my energy drink, but I'm glad to be on with you.
Yeah. Are you a coffee guy? Are you a coffee drinker?
I am. Yes.
Same. Although I had two cups of coffee early this morning, so that's kind of where I cut it. I might add one later in the day, but I try not to over-caffeinate myself. It's great to have you on the show. Last week, it's great to have you on every show, because last week you told us, I want to get something done. I prefer to get something done before the holidays. And that, people picked up on that. There was a buzz after you said that. And then the report came out that you had a deal with the Red Sox for Wilson Contreras. And we said, well, you know, Heim warned us something was possibly could happen before the holidays. So I guess my question is, what do you got cooking now?
I probably need to stop doing that, because now there's going to be reading into every single thing that I say. You know, sometimes I'm going to say some things on here where we're just talking. In that case, I did. Obviously, nothing's done until it's done, but did have a pretty good feeling that we were going to be able to get something done there. So, you know, was able to call the shot a little bit there. But usually it doesn't work like that. It's very rare that you have something that's that close, that's that imminent. We don't today, I can tell you that. But that doesn't mean something won't happen this week. You never know. Like, we've been really in a mode probably since the GM meetings, where you feel like things are just one phone call away to get something moving. And we've, you know, been fortunate to be able to align on a couple things. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to find more moves that we think help the organization.
The Contreras deal, you end up landing, once again, some help from a pitching standpoint. Just let us know what you think you have there.
Yeah, we were happy to get all three of these guys. Hunter Dobbins, obviously, has already begun his big league career. Cardinals fans might remember him pitching against us on Sunday Night Baseball early in the season. Unfortunately, his season came to an abrupt end when he blew out his knee covering first base, kind of a freak thing that he's doing very well coming back from. But this is a guy who's shown a lot of ingredients to be able to be a successful starting pitcher. Obviously, he's just starting to establish himself, so there's a lot more work to be done to fulfill that promise, but somebody who has pretty high upside and also a really high floor, having just begun his big league career. Love a lot of the things he can do with the baseball, and also really the competitor, the person that he is, brings some toughness out there. So that's great to see.
Absolutely.
And the other two the other two kids, obviously we were able to get two guys who are a ways away still, both in A-ball, but both we feel have the upside to pitch in the big leagues. And that's really all you can ask at that stage, that you have a nice raw resource, guys who have had a lot of early success, who really combined have really only pitched for three total seasons between the two of them. So to see them both making their way as starters in A-ball and giving nice ingredients and a good raw resource to our pitching and performance team to mold. Really happy to have all three of these guys in the fold.
Yeah, I was watching video on them. Aida ended up throwing 5 no-hit innings in his first minor league start. And Fajardo looked like another one of those big right. They're all big right-handers, aren't they, Haim? All three of them.
Yeah, the two prospects actually probably have more size than Hunter does, although Hunter's not small by any stretch. That's part of it. It's not the only way that successful pitchers are built, but obviously, you know, strength can equal power to your stuff over the plate. And in the case of those two guys, it certainly has. And we feel, you know, particularly in Aida's case, that there's room for more.
And I remember the Dobbins start. In fact, I was doing the pregame, I believe, that day, talking about how the Red Sox were excited about him in that game. That was, for fans who watched that was the Miles Michaelis game where he struggled in that game. Dobbins went 5 and pitched pretty well. And as you mentioned, had that freak injury in July. How is he rehabbing there? What's his recovery looking like?
He's doing well. He's raring to go. If you ask him, there's not going to be any delay at all. Obviously, we're going to make sure that we check every box because there's no need to rush something like this. You want to put this behind you for good. But he'll have a checkup pretty soon where hopefully he'll get clearance to start throwing off a mound. He certainly has been throwing. If you do some internet sleuthing, you'll be able to find some evidence of that he's posted. But hopefully he gets clearance to start beginning a mound progression. And then he's aiming to come into spring training with no restrictions. Obviously, we're still just getting our arms around everything, understanding him. We'll make sure that we take care of him as he comes back, again, with the idea that once he's back, you don't want him to ever have to think or worry about this again.
A lot of factors, I would guess, in terms of these all being Red Sox deals, going back all the way to Steven Matz. You've made now 3 straight trades with the Red Sox, not to mention Dustin May, pitched for the Red Sox last year. But a lot of factors there, I'm sure. Familiarity. But also the fact that you have open and good communication, it does appear, with Boston. Doesn't mean you're not talking to everybody, but so far it's been a run on the Red Sox, Haim.
Yeah, you know, I figured, obviously, we kind of joking as we were doing this deal, I'm probably going to get asked about that. I actually think you're bearing the lead that we're really, the story people aren't talking about is that we're well on our way to leading the league in redheads. I think that's the real story there, but no, in all seriousness, obviously there's a number of, certainly I feel them, obviously, having worked there and it being my last organization. But, you know, it really just came down to they're both moves that we thought were helpful. When it came to moving those two guys, we felt that in each of those deals that they were offering the best return. And that's all it ever should be about. And obviously we are talking to everybody. I guess until I make a trade with somebody who's not the Red Sox, it's just words, but it really is just all about what's best for the organization and where can we find that best return, no matter where it comes from.
How do you see first base right now as Contreras goes to Boston? It obviously opens up an opportunity for Alec Burleson. Where do you see that position right now?
Yeah, I think Burley's going to get a lot of run there. Obviously, I would expect that there's going to be other people who will factor into that picture as it's still rounding out. But, you know, it's something that he's done before that we have a lot of confidence in him to handle. And it's nice, you know, obviously you don't move someone like Wilson lightly. And it's nice to know that we do have somebody in-house who can shoulder the load over there.
How are things with Blaze Jordan? I know that he played that position. He's also a third baseman, right, Haim? He can play third?
Yeah, he plays both, and you know, we're excited to get him in camp. Obviously, he had some struggles after he came over with us, but there is ability there. For someone who has the ability to hit the ball as hard as he does, who can drive the baseball like he has the ability to do, even if he didn't show it consistently down the stretch, he makes a lot of contact. A lot of players of that profile do not. He certainly does, and that's really interesting. So we'll be excited to get him in camp with us. Happy he's with us. Obviously, there's still some things you want to see improve to earn that big league shot, but very happy that he's in the fold with us and excited to just get him under our tutelage and see him in our camp and continue to get to know what makes him tick and how we can get the most out of him, because there is big league upside there to be a part of that picture over the long haul for sure.
And a couple of other things that does, it does give DH maybe a little more clarity, I guess, in that Ivan Herrera, in theory, even though he's going to work on being a catcher, could see more time there, I would guess. And then it also opens up left field, doesn't it? I mean, how do you see the outfield here?
Yeah, you know, obviously we spent a lot of time talking about the catching front with Yvonne, and that certainly will continue to be a big part of his offseason. But he's a guy that wherever he is, you certainly want that bat in the lineup every day. So it's nice to have a little more flexibility to be able to do that. With the outfield, we like a lot of the options we have on the club. I would say also the picture is not totally complete. So we'll see what happens by the time we get to the end of the offseason. This does open up, you know, some room for us to add to our position player group. Not to say that we're done adding pitching, but I expect going forward that will be more of an emphasis for us as we finish the offseason. But all that being said, we do like a lot of the guys that we have on this club now, some of the candidates for that outfield playing time, and some of the guys we have coming, whether it's someone who just started to get his feet wet in the big leagues like Nathan Church, or someone like a Joshua Baez who's not here yet and still obviously has AAA to go knock down first, but in the long haul has a lot of upside to impact our big league club.
And Haim, finally, just some insight, if you would, maybe a little look behind the curtain as to how this has all happened. You're now 3 months into this position officially, president of baseball operations. Can you recall maybe back when the Cardinals reached out to you, and at what point did you understand that they wanted to go down this road? At what point did the Cardinals and you come together and say, this is the best course for this club, is they need to reload and redo this minor league organization and really throughout a new look?
You know, I think that's part of the advantage of how this came about is I had a chance to get to see the organization a little bit up close and draw some of my own conclusions. Obviously, being in the industry, you always have an opinion on organizations from the outside. When Mo first called me about, you know, coming in to essentially consult in player development, the organization itself had come to the conclusion that there were some things that they wanted to look at differently in player development. Obviously, to the organization's credit, it had always been a stable and consistent place, but one that Mo and the DeWitt family felt was probably a little overdue for some fresh eyes. And so I knew my job that first year was to look in player development and just see exactly where to take in, how to move it.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Really had to revamp it. And in the course of that, I got to understand the rest of the organization. And so, you know, our conversations obviously on player development then flowed into the bigger picture and, you know, the organization's interest in me succeeding Mo and steering the ship from there. And so we got to talk about some of those bigger picture things. And look, obviously, you always want to have your foot on the gas for the here and now. And, you know, like I've said many times, that's never something you want to concede, even if you are thinking a little bit longer term. But, you know, over the course of really the last 2 years, it became very clear, I like to think not just to me, but to everybody in the organization, that this is something that we needed to do, and that there were parts of it that were going to be exciting in the moment. There are parts of it that might be tough in the moment. But if you have a plan and you keep to that plan and you have your eyes on a goal and you're just relentless and being willing to do anything within reason to achieve that goal, that it has a chance not only to be great, but to come sooner than you might think, as long as you stay disciplined on it. And it's been cool to see whether it's new people in the organization or people who have been here really rallying around that. That's not to say it's going to be perfect every day or that there aren't going to be ups and downs. There will be. We know that. But having that energy around this really at the outset of this is so important. You need that sometimes. Like I said, this game's really hard. Everybody's competing, and it doesn't always give you what you want when you want it. So you have to be able to ride that wave, and having all that energy at the outset is really, really a blessing.
I appreciate that answer, and thank you for what you and Anouk joined us last week, and what Ollie continues to do for us is to help us and our listeners understand what's going on. So that's much appreciated. We hope you have a great rest of your Sunday, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Sounds great, and Happy New Year, and Happy 2026 to everybody there.
Happy New Year to Chaim Bloom, the Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. We'll come back. Bernie Miklas will be with us on KMOX. We did hear from the Blues with their 3-2 win over Nashville. We had Rebecca Tillett, the head coach of the Billikens, and we heard the interview of the year, which was Ozzie Smith, the Wizard, after his Go Crazy Folks home run 40th anniversary. I played back something I'm not sure that he had heard. I had some texts from some pretty big names in the business said they had never heard the aftermath of the Go Crazy Folks home run from Jack Buck, talking about it in its entirety, the whole at bat, but also his explanation of everything that went down afterwards. And Ozzie got to hear that and respond to it. And that was really fun, I thought, for all of us to be able to hear that interview again from Ozzie Smith. That is what Sports on a Sunday Morning had. If you want to follow along with us, we are always available on YouTube, on X, on Facebook, but also on the Odyssey app and on KMOX.com, Sports on a Sunday Morning podcast, where you can hear Bernie Miklas. There's no question about that. What's up, Bernie?
Hey, what's going on? Sorry about that. The old technical difficulties.
So that's right.
How are you doing,
Ack? I'm doing great. I blame the holidays. You know, we just got a few little, too many people out there online shopping, all the returns. It's too much. There's only so much bandwidth up there on the internets. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly right. So, yeah, Happy New Year to you and everyone.
Best to you, man. So the thing I got from Chaim that I was just explaining to the audience, the one piece that sort of was left out there for me is it sounds like they're going to pursue something in the outfield. When I mentioned left field, he said, as it stands right now, we have some options, but may want to add and may add in that area is what I took from that. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they could use a right-handed hitting outfielder. The problem is these guys have been kind of lately, there's been a run on them, and then you have a guy like Austin Hayes, who I think would be a great fit for the Cardinals. The problem with Austin, because he's a right-handed hitter outfielder, had a really good year last year. The problem with Austin Hayes is only one thing. There's a lot of teams that want to sign him. So, you know, are the Cardinals going to outbid other teams for him? Harrison Bader, he's kind of up and down. But here's a guy who could play all three positions, but up and down offensively from year to year. You never are quite sure what you're going to get. But again, I think there's a lot of interest in him. Are they willing to give him 2 years, let's say, hypothetically? Because I think there's some teams out there who are willing to do that. So I'm not sure who they've identified as targets. Maybe a right-handed hitting outfielder will come in as part of one of the trades. But I was looking at roster, the offseason, the free agent tracker in baseball. I was looking at that late last week, and I just didn't see a lot out there, you know, unless they want to take a flyer on a guy that they think their internal analysis, the guy's better than his numbers, something like that. I don't see a lot out there because they're going to have to spend to get the two, three, four most coveted right-handed hitting outfielders.
Yeah, I think that's a big piece here that still is out there, and it would be interesting. I wouldn't mind Bader. Are they willing to do 2 years is a good question. Bernie, we have 2 minutes to go, so give me your picks for the college football playoff. I'll give you the games. Let's start with Ohio State-Miami.
You know, Ohio State's favored by 9.5, and that's a big number, but if I were to pick it straight up, I would definitely go with Ohio State. For a lot of reasons, you know, they are better than Miami in virtually every category. And the thing of it is, to cut to the chase, I don't see how Miami scores a lot of points against that Ohio State defense, unless that Ohio State defense all of a sudden no longer can stop the run because they're really great in that area. And I don't trust Miami's coach. I mean, I think they'll screw some things up. I got to go with Ohio State in that game.
And I'm told we have 60 seconds to go here, so I'm going to give you three. Texas Tech, Oregon, Indiana, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss.
I'm on the side of Oregon, Texas. If you press me today, I would take Oregon, but I'm not confident at all. But during the week, we'll talk about it again. Indiana's 7-point favorite over Alabama. I see a lot of people online who assess these things from a wagering standpoint. Everybody jumping on it, Alabama taking the 7, but I'm looking at where each team is graded in every category possible, and you know, all of the check marks, virtually, not everyone, is with Indiana. So I think it's that name brand bias again, the way I see it. I think Georgia beats Ole Miss. They're favored by 6.5. I don't think they're going to have much of a problem beating Ole Miss.
I think you and I are on the same page on these, but we'll see where it all goes. Appreciate you, my man. Have a great rest of your day. Always good to visit with you on KMOX.
Yeah, as always, likewise. You take care.
My guy, Bernie Miklas, with us on KMOX's Sports on a Sunday morning. We're coming to you from the Stiefel Sports Studio, and I hope you have a fantastic Sunday. SLU basketball at 2.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.